Hello and welcome to The Giggle.
The Giggle. It's our weekly, semi-weekly, sometimes weekly podcast. So we've had a lot of awesome guests. We've had politicians, we've had gossip columnists, we've had authors, even an astrologer. But I think my favorite, and you haven't even talked, Eric, but one of my favorite guests is with us, Eric Rutherford. And you, I call you a multi-hyphenate talent because you bring a lot of things. So, you know, you're a style ambassador, you're an influencer, you're a tastemaker, you're a model. You do so many things. I want to say influencer, but I think that's gotten such a negative connotation now. But how do you describe what you do or yourself?
Well, first and foremost, thank you for having me here, both of you. I really appreciate it. I was very excited to join you all today for a good giggle and chat. You know, how do I describe myself today? Well, one, hi, everyone, to the listeners. I appreciate you all joining us. How do I describe myself? Well, thank you for saying those very nice, kind things about myself. You know, I think the challenge today is... the great thing about today is you can be a multi-hyphenate. You know, whereas a few years ago, everyone really wanted you to stick in a lane, stay in a lane, yep. Do what you do well, which I think there's fantastic, wonderful things about doing that, right? Be great, be excellent at what you do and be passionate about that and exciting about that. The challenge of only staying in one lane, though, is it can be very constrictive, very restrictive. Right. Sticking to a label that has been placed, sticking to a label that, do we cut out?
No, we're there.
We did a little, yeah.
Okay.
We're good.
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay. So, the challenge for me when someone tells you to stay in your lane is that it really has less to do with you than it does with the other person.
Absolutely.
So they're placing their ideas of what your role should be onto you. So, you know, one of the wonderful things about, today's marketplace, even though it literally is upside down and anything goes and it's about reset and reevaluate and pivoting and everything that is happening over the last year. But to me, it just fast forwarded what was already happening because, you know, we'll say on these multiple platforms and access to different industries, you can be a multi-hyphenate. You can insert yourself into a conversation, whatever it might be, right? And so for me right now, I am in the process of redefining myself, you know, in as much because of what has happened, you know, during the pandemic and my industries that I have found great success in. You know, whether it's the fashion industry or the event industry or entertainment, like everybody else, they came to a standstill.
Well, you know, I used the word influencer and I said, you know, it has kind of a negative label to it. You know, it's a pay for play. What I'm fascinated about your social media is it's so positive and it's so genuine. And I'm wondering, like, is it natural for you to do that? Do you kind of try to stay away from the sponsorships? And how do you judge what you want to put on your profiles?
Well, God, you know, some days it's literally making a decision in the moment. You know, it's how I feel. You know, for me, what has happened over the last few years, you know, when I came back to the fashion industry, an influencer was primarily focused on, we'll say, collaborating with different brands, right, within the fashion industry. And it was really, it's about, like you said, pay to play. To me, the idea of what it is to be an influencer is to be of influence. And it, to me, that means being a positive influence, an uplifting influence, whether it's making or encouraging someone to try something new, to live their best life, to face their fears, to get sober, to whatever that might, you know, again, I'm old enough that I've been, we'll say, in this arena for so many years. When I was doing 20 plus years ago, what we now call influencer marketing, it was people that were influential in their communities.
Absolutely.
You know? And, you know, I can remember 20 plus years ago doing an activation with The Gap, where we went to the top 10 markets around the U.S. and hosted 100 cocktail parties. And each host within those markets was someone who was of influence there, whether it was the senior at, SMU who had started a give back program, or it was a successful female partner at a law firm, or whatever it might be, but truly women who were of influence and were making a difference. And so you fast forward to where we are today and what this label of influencer has become. Yes, it has taken on, we'll say, a negative connotation. What I think is also happening now, and I'm included in that, is there is an evolution that's happening.
Absolutely.
You know, so to me, and I am part of that evolution personally and professionally.
Now, I want to say how I discovered you, Eric. So during the pandemic, you know, Beth and I each, we have our own PR firms, and, you know, business really collapsed. And I found myself with a lot of time, too much time. And, you know, I was dusting off old projects or whatever. And I started going on social media, and you were somebody that, you know, it always tells you who you should follow. And I started following you. And, you know, I'm not afraid to say, you know, April was a really tough period for me. I had a panic attack and whatnot. And just seeing you, and especially on Tuesdays, the positive messages, and you just checked in with people and say, how are you? And I felt like I was talking to a friend. And that positivity is very infectious. So does that come natural to you?
Well, one, first, I love that we found each other.
Yes.
Because I like to look at it that way. Two, yes. To say it simply, yes. It does Absolutely. Come naturally to me. Do I work at it? 100%.
Right.
Because like everyone, I have tough days, you know, and for me, Happy Tuesday of where this check-in started was, my partner, you know, again, going back to one of your first questions was about being an influencer, right? You know, you are asked to or required, to post a picture and tag and, you know, do these stories and everything. And I was getting ready to post another picture. And my partner looked at me like, you're boring me. and you know, I don't know about the two of you, but for someone to say and look at you right in the face and say, you're boring me, it strikes a nerve.
Oh, 100%.
And yet I also knew what he was talking about.
Absolutely.
Because I was doing the same thing over and over again. I wasn't evolving. I wasn't following my own plan, my own, we'll call it a strategy, if you will, when I came back to this industry, because I came back because of the possibilities, because you could communicate with people on all these social platforms, because you could be in multiple lanes. And yet when I'd come back, you know, I was willing to show up and to support others and to build a name for myself. What I hadn't realized was, all right, well, let's say you kind of know when you know, right?
Right.
I knew I was getting to a point where I needed to kind of push myself forward. And so, because I wanted more, I didn't want to just settle. I didn't want to just be in one lane, so to speak. You know, I didn't want to just be the guy with the great salt and pepper hair. Again, I'm very
happy to be there. Right?
I was going to say, I'm
very grateful. And I will humbly embrace the success, the career that I've had because of my hair. You know, a door's open for you, right? And whether it's luck, right place, right time, whatever it might be, a door had opened for me. And so I chose to step into it.
Right.
It is then up to you what you do with it, right? If you continue to show up, if you continue to evolve, if you continue to grow as a professional and also as a person. So when my partner said to me, I'm bored with you, struck a nerve. So that is the day I sat and started Happy Tuesday. And because that also came together with my past experience in the sense of my recovery from alcoholism and drug addiction, coming out at a very young age, you know, having these moments in my life that shaped me and during that time felt very alone and didn't have someone to look to uplift me, to that I could talk to or listen to or find inspiration from. And I was already looking to see how could I be of service? How could I give back in this arena, in these platforms that again, I work very hard, but I'm very grateful for anyone who chooses and decides to share this experience and follow me. So for me, sitting down, it was a very natural thing for me to check in with my friends. So that's, you know, and again, it has evolved from that. And you know, the whole point was to be aware of when you are given an opportunity and sometimes it's spoken to you.
Absolutely. And you know,
to then shift, right?
I mean, I remember going on and at one time you were like, just breathe, just breathe. And another time you were say, put on something that makes you happy, that makes you feel good. And which I loved. And, you know, when you say, you know, you're saying, how are you? You're asking, like, I follow Naomi. I follow everybody in fashion. And I think they're great. The messages they're putting on, you know, with politics and gay rights and Black Lives Matter. But Naomi has never asked me how I'm doing.
Well, it's very interesting. I mean, I feel like because I started out, you know, even in addition to doing PR, I started out in the parenting space as a blogger, as one of those influencers. So to your point, I was also hosting parties, but for the moms,
yep,
all over the country. So I totally, completely and utterly relate to what you're saying. And the funny thing is, this past year, my kids are in college. You know, I have a senior and I have a freshman. So it's very different things. And I'm not sharing the little kid stories anymore. And it became for me more about self-care. Mm-hmm. And I lost a lot of weight and I became more in that, you know, realm of like sharing my story. And I've been doing exactly what you're saying in terms of engaging.
Yeah.
And sometimes I feel like, oh my God, I put myself out there. And yet now I'm getting feedback with, you're so inspiring. Keep going, keep sharing, keep telling. Like, so it is really gratifying to know that your message is impacting people.
Absolutely. I love that happened for you and that you were able to see that though, you know, because again, it's, life can be hard enough, right?
Right.
And I believe wholeheartedly that as human beings, we have a responsibility to help others.
Right.
And that can be in the smallest gesture of even a smile, right? Or a text or connecting to people to for a job or what, again, whatever, you know, whatever it might be, to even grant, you know, bigger, grander, larger expressions of, you know, service or doing good, or again, whatever that might, starting a foundation, you know, again, whatever that might look like, as long as you're doing something and to hear that you made that pivot and that people are responded to it. Because again, to me, it's both how you are evolving as a person, right? Not staying stuck. And again, I say this with, you know, with love and with kindness and as much about myself as anyone, right? You know, for what you were doing of 10 years ago or 20 years ago it served you then, but what are you doing now? And how are you using that experience or that those insights? And so you were able to evolve using those insights that you have. And then see, this is it, to right now, it looks like self-care. And I think so often, as the two of you can attest, people are searching. People are looking for a community, a tribe, people that are like themselves. You know, that is one of the greatest things that I think social media has brought to us, is that be able to exchange of like-mindedness, to also learn about people that are unlike you. You know, mm-hmm. And so that you can evolve your thinking about yourself and the world. You know, I'm getting ready to start a podcast where I've gone to out to friends of mine who are writers, because I have such a love and respect for writers, Jeremy.
thank you.
because to me, to be able to, quote unquote, look at a blank page and either translate someone's story respectfully, beautifully, with layers, richness, and also to create a scene or a movie or a book of fiction or whatever white media. I have such a love and respect for them. And I have found great healing, as many of us have, from people and their writings and their words, and particularly over the last year. And so I'm starting this podcast where I've gone to friends of mine, to also people who I look to, who are leaders and who are, I find very inspirational, to write original stories or stories they have not yet shared, that are like mine, but also not mine. Because I believe, again, what, if anything, about the last year has taught us, made us exposed to, that we learn or we begin to have an empathy for others when we understand their stories.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I'm wondering, you know, we're all adults, and, you know,
Most days.
And, you know, we got through the pandemic pretty much in a whole. The young kids, and I feel like I'm like 60 years old now, but how are you, because you have hundreds of thousands of followers, and people actually reach out to you in direct message.
Yes.
How do you think young people are experiencing this versus how we are?
Good question. You know, the that is a multi-answer question. And I say that in as much because I do have people reach out to me. And what I have worked at during this pandemic is to remove, or we'll say expand, what my experience is during this pandemic, but to also include other people, everyone else's. Because if you go on social media, for those that you follow, right, you may only be following a certain group, type of people. Oh, again, however you want to put them together. And you may not be seeing those people that can't pay their rent.
Right.
You may not be seeing in your feed those people that have lost their mother and their father, mm-hmm. that are being impacted by it. Or you may be seeing people that are thriving, that didn't lose their job, that haven't been personally impacted by losing someone or getting sick, that they actually just bought a new house, that they just, again, there's so, what I've had to constantly remind myself, you know, someone said to me at the beginning of this, because again, I didn't, similar to you, Jeremy, I had a rough time for those first 2 months, March and April. But what I kept doing is I kept talking about it. I wanted to keep talking about it. What I also learned was read the room, think beyond what is right in front of your face. So when I get DMs, it's, to your point, it is a range of people. It is people in their early 20s, their 30s, to people 40s, 50s, and 60s. And I learn from them as much as they might be gaining from me, right? You know, especially if someone in their 20s, they look at this whole experience very differently. You know, I'll give you an example. You know, my god kids, my youngest was in his junior year studying abroad in Italy, in Italy last March. So, and they literally shut his program down as Italy was being shut down. And he was a kid.
Right.
Full panic. What do I do? Oh my God, what do I do? So he and his mom, obviously my mom, his mom and I, we all kind of hunker down. What do we need to do? Get him out of Italy, get him to New York, get him, you know, and so, you know, you do that, right? You figure that what I wasn't expecting and what I got from listening to him was that magical final year of college imploded.
Yep.
Which you can, right? You can relate to.
That year, that. Yeah.
Right? So you get it. Well, you know, how is your daughter handling it?
So it's funny that you mentioned Italy. My daughter, thankfully, was a junior in Italy during the fall of last year. So she had an amazing experience, except for the moment when her eardrum burst on a flight from London to Italy, and she was in an Italian hospital, and we were dealing with that, like, scariness. So she got out, but she had one of the best experiences of her life going back to campus for the last year and a half, and it all, like you said, imploded. So she's a fashion design major. She's in an art school in Philadelphia. So, you know, all that in-person stuff is so crucial to her right now. The internships went away, all those things, the career building things. I'm grateful to be in the industry that I'm in, to be able to at least connect some dots so that she can at least start, you know, still building the portfolio, still doing all those things. But to your point, the social life has been decimated. And then on the opposite side of it, I have a son who's a freshman who decided he wanted to go to the university, and he's in Chicago right now, and it's like 20 below zero. He's had a lot of things happen, unfortunately, that are not positive. The social anxiety is horrendous. The anxiety from the COVID anxiety of all these kids thinking they're going to get it any other second versus the kids in Florida who are like doing COVID parties.
Right.
So as a parent, you know, and again, going back, like here I was doing the mommy blogging when they were little kids, little problems. This is so much above my pay grade right now.
Right.
And, you know, and I feel like I'm supporting a lot of people in the mental health profession to support my children. And I think back to when we were in college that we never did any of this stuff.
At all. Nothing.
We had a pay phone. We had a call collect, you know, like, right. There was none of this.
No.
I said to my friend yesterday, my biggest disappointment was when I was rejected from graduate school. I wanted to go to Columbia Journalism School and I was rejected. And then I had found out I didn't get into NYU either. And I was devastated. And I drove home 4 hours to my house crying. And I still went to NYU anyway. And I figured it out. But I didn't call my mom and ask to talk to someone and right. You know, call up in a ball. I got in the car
and I Right. So, I mean, so Jeremy, it's like, to your point, it's like, I think everyone and not just young people are handling this differently. And what I, you know, when someone reaches out to me, you know, it's, I'll give you an example. Someone late 40s, early 50s reached out to me. They're trying to get sober.
Wow.
So it's everyone, again, not to generalize or make it a bumper sticker or whatever, but life goes on.
Yes.
And this is, you know, everyone says, when's it going back to normal? When's it going to be there? Whatever. Well, it's not. This is what we are with every day. So this is the normal.
Absolutely.
So trying to hold on to what it used to be is all to me, and again, this is my opinion. Anything that I'm sharing is my opinion based on my experience, you know. So it's that, and I always want to preface that because that is just me. And so, if you're holding on to what it used to be like, how people used to relate to each other, how we used to socialize, job, whatever it might be, to me, you are only setting yourself up for disappointment, for failure, for bitterness, again, however you want to bundle it together. What I try to tell people, wherever they are and however they're experiencing it, face where you are today. Reach out to people.
Yep.
So that they know what you're going through. Create a support system and put together a plan on how to get what you want, goals, but all, and also having an understanding of, okay, this is what I wanted. You know, I've talked to my godson about this. This, you know, what his senior year was supposed to be, his, right, you know, the internship, all that's everything. Okay, that is not happening. Okay, how, what can you do now to make it the best experience for what it is today? And I say that to anybody, you know, if it's about, if they're talking about suffering from depression right now, you know, how do you get out of it? I'm doing all the things I'm supposed to be doing, but I still feel low. Well, someone said to me, it may have been my dad from a very young age, if you keep going back to the same well and expecting the water to taste different, you're the one that needs to change.
Absolutely. And I'm going to give a shout out to Beth here because she's raised two great kids, and her son found an outlet and he started writing music and performing it. And
wow.
He's so talented. But I really think that's taking lemons and making lemonade. I mean, he found an outlet and discovered this amazing talent. And, you know, it's right. You know, like you have the power to change and you're not stuck in this. Find something new. Do something that you've always wanted to do. And Beth actually wrote a book. So,
Beth, you rock star.
Well, I'm a storyteller by heart. So I wrote a book about, you know, my, you know, purpose and sort of like where finding your purpose. And that's kind of what I put out there now. And sort of, again, those backstories and all of those things that kind of got me to where I was. And because Jeremy and I worked together at CBS. So I had that glamorous life, you know, of going on red carpets and taking actors and actresses everywhere. And to your point from before about wanting to go back, you know, like there were opportunities along the way where I would say, oh, I want to, you know, it would be so nice to go back again. Uh-huh. And as a, you know, and I want to say as a woman of a certain age, ageism is alive and well in the entertainment industry, like you wouldn't believe. And I had to come to terms with that. Sure. And at the same time, I also at a point in my life where I still, you know, I have my own career aspirations, but I really want to help support my children. And I look at it like, you know what, they're at an age now, like when I was in college, where it's like, what's your dream in life? How do we help you at least guide you? Or this is what you really want. Let me sprinkle my magic fairy dust and see how I can at least kind of help behind the scenes. So for Jeremy's point with my son, sadly, he has been going through a very difficult breakup. There's a lot of stuff behind it. It's been really hard on him.
Sorry, and, you know that.
Yeah, so he wrote 14 songs. 14. Like, it's insane.
Wow.
Within a course of a month and a half. So we are actually, yesterday he spoke with a production studio in Chicago to start recording them because we're getting nice feedback from people. So we want to like say, you know,
well,
what?
Please, I'm going to interrupt you a second. Like, here's me jumping in, right? Send me the link, whatever, and I'll put it up on my story and we can link back to one of his songs when he's ready.
All right. Absolutely. I mean, he is just... he's my heart. I mean, I get so emotional because my daughter is the one who, when she's going through stuff, I hear it every minute of the day. You know, she's much more like that. And he's the gentle giant.
Yep.
But when he's upset, he is profoundly upset. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I want him back. You know, I want him back so badly. So whatever we can do to kind of get into that position of strength again,
right. Sure.
is that, and I'm sure you're facing that with, you know, young people that are getting in touch with you, you know?
Well, to your point, and really, but honestly, please, I share with that with the biggest heart, however I can help your son. Again, even if it's the smallest thing, however I can help, please. I think that applies to, listen, all of us, right? You know, to your point, you know, talking about ageism, the number of people that I have reached out to me that are in their 40s and 50s and 60s who are in the workforce, who are no longer in their workforce or still have jobs, but feel they're biding their time, like it's coming to them, that they're getting pushed out. And again, this is nothing new. You know, that sense of being too old, past your prime, put out to pass, I mean, all those things, right? Yeah. You know, when I came into this industry about 6 years ago, I truly felt I was an old man in a young man's game. And it took me a moment, right? And trust me, there are still days where, like I'm 53 and I look at, I question, what am I doing? Where am I going? Kind of all those things that we do. You know, so when I came back in, it took me a beat. When I was sitting at those influencer dinners or on the red carpet, or whatever, what I got to was, you know, and what I tell anyone is your experience, your value is your worth. You know, what your individualism, what you bring to the table, never lose sight of that, no matter what your age is or your experience, right? Because if we've learned anything, certainly over this last year, we all have something to share. We all of our voices, all of our votes matter. So yes, maybe it's certainly in the entertainment industry, any industry, you really see it in fashion and right entertainment industry. It's that once you hit a certain age, so to speak, or number, people see this number and want to categorize you as something. Okay. Though that to me exists. What it also pushes you to do is then, and I speak again about my own experiences, I'm not going to, and I trust me, I work at this every day. I'm not going to sit and allow myself to be pushed aside, disrespected, my life that I have worked so hard at, which we all do, right? To be looked at all of a sudden because there's an age alongside my name, that there isn't anything that I have to offer. Because like I would sit at those influencer tables and the guys and the girls that would be there, they'd be half my age. I mean, I could be there. Yes. I mean, they'd literally be like, one of my favorite things to do is, you know, you're sitting there and you're laughing, you've just on the carpet and everyone and you know, they base your value on the number of followers you have and blah, you know, or how you're dressed, whatever, you know. It's just human nature to make easy judgment, first impression, whatever you want to call it. So you're sitting at these dinners, and I remember we talking, laughing, the whole thing. And no matter what, it would always come around to, oh, well, how old are you? To me. And in perfect dramatic hint of comedic pause, I would allow them to raise their fork, getting ready to take a bite. And I'd be like, I'm 50. And you'd see like some would spit food out. Someone like, jaws would drop. It would be this shock because you could see, and then you could see their minds trying to calculate and take this whole thing in of this person, me, who was their equivalent in the sense of as the influencer, you know, right? Whether I was invited to be there, I was paid to be there, however you looked at it, sitting across from them, having these discussions, and they were having a good time, excuse me. And yet I was this quote unquote old man or this old person or older. And what I, you know, the wonderful thing that came about it for me was I was stepping into in this industry and owning my worth, owning my experience in this playing field, so to speak. The wonderful thing too that happened was by sharing my age with them, it expanded how they viewed someone who was older.
Right.
So for me, that's why it's so crucial. And again, trust me, as you can attest, there are days where I'm like, F you, you know, like, or I want to just curl up and like, what? I can't, this is, you know, where do you fit in? Where do, who want you? The whole thing. So you, as you said, you kind of made the shift. Right? And I don't want to say you can pivot. You made the shift. You evolved focusing on self-care for me. Okay. Well, and I'll be perfectly transparent. You know, even before the pandemic hit, I was working less in the industry. Now, whether that was, you know, and someone said this to me, which I had to think about for a while, mull over. Someone said to me, "What, you've reached the pinnacle. You are looked at. You've built a reputation. You are viewed as a great success in this industry." How I always looked at it, because I've always been a worker. I love working. You could term me sometimes I'm a workaholic. I loved the process of whether it was, you know, on a shoot or, you know, or producing events, right? I loved long days. I loved creating something. So in my mind, my sense of work or success was working nonstop. Mm-hmm. No breaks, you know, which again, I'm not the only one that feels that way, you know? So when people were saying that to me, because as I was working less and less, people were saying, well, that's not how you're viewed. I'm like, I thank you for saying those nice things about me. For me though, there's a disconnect that's happening because I'm getting more money, we'll say, for bookings, but I'm working less. So is it because of my age? Is it, I mean, you know, you begin to rack, as you know, right? You begin to try to find an answer.
Right.
Where there may not be an answer.
Right.
You know, one of the yeah. most, right? Oh, sorry, Beth, what were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say, and to your point, it is that evolution and making peace with the fact that you can't go back home again. You can't. You know, and that's like, you know, I think about like, you know, some of the most amazing moments, you know, being at the stock exchange with the cast of Everybody Loves Raymond on the series finale. Yeah, that was one of the best moments of my life. You know, opening the CSI Museum in Chicago with the whole cast. Pretty damn good, amazing experience, right?
Very cool. Yes.
Very cool. And yet then I became an influencer. Yep. And, you know, got to do, you know, went to red carpets and did things where it was a very different experience, but yet I still had all these fun things. And now I look at it like I'm at an age, I'm 51. So I'm part of your club, you know, right? And yet yesterday I posted again because of the whole health stuff.
Yep.
I reached a weight goal. I am now under the weight that I was when I got married.
Congratulations. Congratulations.
Thank you. So, and that had been in my head, like, let me see, I'm not going to kill myself. I'm not going to, yep. you know, because even then it's like under, whatever.
Right.
But I just was like, I'm about to celebrate my 25th anniversary this year. So I'm just, you know, I've got all these like nostalgic feelings going sure. and I set this goal for myself because women are told you're in menopause. You're not going to lose weight. You're just at a certain age now that you just can't look that good anymore. Don't even try it. And yet you hit your 50s and you also say, I don't give a crap what people think of me anymore. I am at this position and I feel comfortable about myself.
Yep.
And you're not going to try to push me off my perch because you are in, you know, you are part of my past life and that was nice. And, yep. you know, and the only thing I can say, which has been so wonderful, is that people that I have been that I've worked with over the years mm-hmm. have come back to me because of this health program.
Wow.
So my favorite people and brought them back into my life. So we don't have the work, but we have the supportive environment again of helping each other.
Yes.
And that to me has been such a gift, you know, and who knew? I didn't never saw it coming.
Right. Well, to your point, it is a gift, and how exciting that you have taken something that can be a negative.
Right. Totally.
And not settled for that, to be that. And you've shaped it into this positive thing. And now, you know, and to your point, yes, what you've now been able to do and people are gaining from what you've done by doing that shift, it's wonderful. You're giving back, you know, and as you both know, it's like, great. So you've done this thing. Well, yeah, you know what? Now maybe there is a way you can monetize it. Maybe there is a way that you can still remain true to what the core, the mission, vision of that is, right? And still remain, and again, this word gets overused, authentic.
Yes, yes.
To what that is about, and also be able to, you know, to support yourself and to pay the bills, so to speak. I applaud you. I think it's so wonderful of one, what you've done for yourself, what you've done for your kids, what you've done coming from the industry that you're in. To me, you're such a fantastic example to so many, though. And I wholeheartedly say that because I think often, you know, you're doing what you're doing, right? And it can feel very lonely.
Yep.
Or we'll say alone. Because again, you're the one that has to make the change. And I say this to anybody that asks me for advice or help or whatever it is. You can have, yes, surround yourself with people that are invested in your success, that are invested in you being your best self, that believe in you, believe in not who you will become, but believe who you are today and support you in getting to those goals, you know, and at the end of the day, you have all this, you surround yourself with that. It is up to you to keep showing up. You have to do the work. And that is one of the things. Listen, I even had a moment this morning. I'll be completely transparent. There's a lot of moving pieces right now, we'll say, in my life, as is everyone's. And I got, what's the saying when you, I can't, oh, I, you can't, I,
sorry. Yeah, yeah.
And with that, thank you so much for joining us.
No, so funny. You can't see the forest. That's my daughter. Like, I have the special ring. It's fine. Don't worry.
I love it. Well, tell her we all said hi.
Okay.
You can't see the forest through the trees, right? Is the saying, in the sense of you can get so, I got so caught up in what isn't going right, or what I think isn't going right, or that feels in disarray, or that is unclear, that I had a moment and I was being pissy. I was being angry. I was lashing out at myself. I was, you know, that, I mean, all this stuff. And then, and as I'm even setting up to see all you guys, I went, pump the brakes, Rutherford. Because it was, and I had to laugh at myself.
Right.
Right.
In the most loving way. Because it's like, yes, those things could be happening and are happening. Someone said to me, I don't know if you guys saw recently or last few months, people started talking about toxic positivity.
Yes.
Where it's constant. And I talked about that on Tuesdays, the Happy Tuesdays. Cause someone said that to me. You know, this is empty what you're saying. This isn't real what this isn't authentic what you're saying. The constant positivity. It's unreal, it's unsustainable, so I had to question. I questioned myself. I did a deep dive. I paused to take in what this person was saying. And then I did some research on it. And sometimes I won't say I hide behind my positivity, but I will use it as my lead, if that makes sense.
This is Eric. No. This is what I love about your social media, because I think you strike a right balance between positivity and laughing at yourself and throwback photos and even, you know, the social justice and the politics and congratulating people. So I have this one client, I'm not going to say any names, but she wanted to put a message about Black Lives Matter. And I said, that's an important cause, but you live in Westchester and you're a white girl. Now's not the time to talk. Now's the time to listen. And I'm really fascinated about how do you strike that balance when knowing when to have a light moment or to, you know, do a happy talk or to post something about politics. Like, does that come natural to you, that kind of that balance, or is it something you think about?
Well, one, great advice to your client. For me, it's a mix of it all. It's gut reaction. It's emotion. Like, I could plan out what I'm posting, we'll say, the next day, and then I'll wake up and I'll have this emotional response to whether either something I saw on the news or something I saw in my feed, and it immediately will shift. And this is what I need to address.
Yep.
If it's not like a planned post or a paid post, we'll say, or okay, whatever it's, you know, that I have to do it for someone else or something, you know, it is, I use all of my, we'll say my experience. Listen, if you can't be self-deprecating, if you aren't able to, and I can be the most serious MF that so like caught up in the emotion of it and not be able to see beyond it and the weight and the you know, and so I work at making sure I am inclusive in my decision making. And whether, you know, again, going back about 2.5 years ago, when I really began to question myself, where was I going? How was I being of service? How was I lifting others up, you know? And so whether it was my own white privilege, whether it was in the queer community, again, whatever might, you know, women, Black women, Black trans women, I mean, all of it. So I started this, we'll say, evolution. The first thing that I would say is I try to educate myself, but I make mistakes. I learn as I go. I watch others. I ask questions. I listen to your point. So for the last year, it's like when the pandemic hit, I went into a deep dark hole. And one of the things that they, you know, one of the pillars of AA and staying sober is, you know, get outside of yourself, be of service. You know, because ultimately that will help you get away from self and help others. And believe it or not, when you are of service of others, many times it comes back to you. Mm-hmm. Not the reason to do it. But so when this all happened, this pandemic happened, it was really, how can I help others? How can I reach out? How let me share a positive message. Maybe look to others. Let me text other people to see how they're doing, because I had so many, and I'm sure the two of you the same, struggled mental health issues, depression, loneliness, panic. I mean, so many things, let alone health issues, you know, economic issues, all of it. So that really kind of fast forwarded where I was already moving towards. And then obviously, Breonna Taylor, George Floyd and all that. And I, you know, Jeremy, and I think I shared this to you when we spoke before, it was a turning point for me. Within a 24-hour period, George Floyd was murdered and Larry Kramer died.
Right.
And Larry Kramer, as I don't know if the two of you know, but
of course,
listeners,
yeah,
know, he was very much a part of the ACT UP force that made change and created change. And slogan was silence equals death. And so here we see the video of a man, a Black man, bleeding for breath. And you have this other person who rallied the troops, rallied change, silence equals death. And so for me, it got to be like, it pushed me forward. Like, either I'm going to make a choice to remain silent and not show my support.
Right.
Show, and it not just show in the sense of here's, I'm going to post a picture and that's it. No, it is in the sense of I am, this is my life. I am, we are, we have to be a part of this. I am encouraging you to engage, to help make change, to make change. Again, you can make it on a very small part, whether it's talking with a friend, or much bigger part, whether it's marching, protesting, speaking up, investing, charity, again, whatever, helping others. So again, it's fun. And you ask about finding a balance of being lighthearted or self-deprecating or helping others in the sense of telling their stories or sharing my platform. It's all of it. And I don't have a plan, you know, I have to laugh, right? Because I was just thinking about this last week. It's, you know, so much of when you will say, influencer marketing, right? You know, there's a people now on Zoom, we were sitting around a table before, they will go to your page, see your numbers of followers, your engagement, you know, all those things. And then they will see how pretty your page is. Is it inviting? Is it enticing? Is it welcoming? Is it artistic? Is it, again, whatever it might be, that used to be very much a part of how brands chose to work with you. You look at mine, like, looks like this jumble. There's nothing pretty about it. Well, that's kind of how my life is right now, in the sense of that is my life. Yeah, I think there's pretty aspects of about it. And I'll still post a pretty picture, but it's not the whole story.
Right.
So what I'm attempting to do, and again, I'm still trying to figure it out, is I will highlight, you know, Amanda Gorman, who just the young poet.
Yep.
You know, because it's one, I love poetry. I played football, you know, and to have a poet at the Super Bowl to me was mind blowing and exciting. To have this young woman, let's just say that, right? And a very masculine focused, macho team sports play, right? But a young Black woman to be there. So both at the inauguration and at this sporting event that had 96 million people watching it.
Incredible.
So yes, I'm going to support that. I'm going to highlight that. And maybe I've lost work because of it, because my page isn't pretty. I don't know. What I do know is that for me as an individual, I am choosing to move in this direction in my life. I still love fashion. I still love the entertainment industry. I love museums and architecture, all that. That is who I am as a person. I am a very positive person, and I lead with that. I believe kindness is a superpower. I believe how we treat people can change someone's life and can help change the world. And again, I know that is a t-shirt and it's a bumper sticker, but I believe that wholeheartedly.
Of course, that's exactly where my head went, but I agree now, with you.
Now, Eric, you know, what do you do?
I wish we were sitting at at a table at a lunch right now, because I just, you know, I have to say, Jeremy said, you are going to love him. And I do.
Thank you. Yeah, Eric, what else are you working on now? Tell us what's going on.
I have to say, I am grateful for the two of you for taking the time to include me in your podcast. I really am. I appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. I appreciate it. So I'm working two things, a few things, but two primary things that I'm working on right now. So I mentioned the podcast. It is something that I am so passionate about. And it came out of, I started writing these personal essays about a year and a half ago. And with the intention of having them published and then putting them all together and to be a book. And I started, you know, putting those together and sitting down and reflecting on moments in my life that have built up until this point. And while I was doing that, I was interviewed on a different podcast, a friend of a podcast, and the producers of the podcast said, you know what, you're very good at this. You tell great stories. You're great on the radio, so to speak. And they said, you should come back and start your own. You should have your own. And so kind of mulled over that. And so I started doing it and I read one of my essays. So that podcast never got off the ground. What ended up happening though was, and I say that as much because of timing, the pandemic, kind of all the above. What ended up happening was after I had read one of those essays and the two guys, Phineas and Courtney, they came to me last October and said, we've got an idea. We know you love writers. We know you have the utmost respect for them and you believe in the written word and that it can heal and make change. And we also know on your platform, you talk about uplifting and sharing people's stories. What if you did a podcast where you talked, you read your essays as well, but also went to your friends and had them be a part of it? And to me, it was one of those light bulb moments.
Right.
So I'm in the process. Timing of this is fantastic in the sense of I'm actually getting ready to go record the first three next week.
Wonderful.
So I'm very excited about that. And then one of the other, we'll say personal creative projects that I'm working on right now is I again, always respected the written word, playwriting, screenwriters, authors, again, whatever it might be. I used to write 20 plus years ago. Used to write, that actually sounds funny to say. But I sat down and wrote my first play and had an option for Off-Broadway. And then I ended up writing a couple other things and had sold those as well. Nothing ever got produced, but I had sat down and set intention and I did it. Fast forward during the pandemic, you know, you have all this time, you know, and looking to be positive in my own life, I'd always had this idea, you know, because a number of friends of mine are Black trans actresses and they talk about, you know, there are no jobs for them or it's difficult, you know, or they get the guest star or they, you know, or Laverne Cox, you know, he talks about, you know, there's room for more than one, you know, mm-hmm. And then you get shows like Pose that, one of my favorite shows, period. So I sat and I had an idea for a two-person piece, a two-person play that literally is about a white cis stepfather and his Black trans journalist stepdaughter and them having to come back together. And it's a passion project for mine, you know, because it's touching on as much as what her experience is, and also what his is, because he's the guy is 50 and he's a football coach and he has an idea of what it means to be male and white and a football player. Mm-hmm. And all that means. So so I'm working on those and I'm on the second draft right now. And then, you know, as well as I'm looking for work and I'm, you know, looking for other opportunities and yeah. So just, those are the things that are lifting my spirits right now as kind of talking to the two of you, you know, looking for different types of collaborations that you can do safely now, to keep both evolving myself, but also to your point, I'm 53 in this industry. I can sit and wait for a phone call, a text, an email, or I can take what I have right now, use what I have, and create out of that. And I believe, I have faith that I still have something to offer, you know, as I believe we all do. And doors were open. Now I have to practice every day. And I say this to people who are listening as well. It's, you know, that first door may not open, but keep walking down the hall. You know, someone who I look to, who has given me such a source of strength and inspiration is Ava DuVernay, the director. And as you know, Beth, I'm sure she was in PR.
Mm-hmm.
And wanted to be a director. She worked her butt off. She still ran her PR company, I think, 8 years after she'd started she directed her first film.
I love that.
And where she is, and one of the things she said to me, and she and I, we have a relationship, we kind of message back and forth, but she was accepting an award, I forget what it was, and I watched this video many, many times. She said, you know, and I'm paraphrasing, you know, she said, you know, at a certain point, I got tired of knocking on all these doors that didn't want to open for me, that didn't want to work with me, or that saw me and didn't see there was room at the table.
Yep.
So instead of waiting, I built my own door. I built my own office. I built my table. And I'm inviting those people that want to work with me to sit at that table.
I love it.
Yeah.
So, I share that advice repeatedly.
Absolutely.
To so many people, you know, because again, listen, with Valentine's Day coming up, you know, often I'll get people like, well, I'm falling in love with so-and-so, or they're not people, or you can give me relationship advice. And, you know, I said this to my best friend after she'd gone through a breakup. I said, why would you want to be with someone who doesn't want to be with you?
Right.
So I say that to anybody, and it also relates to at a job or a friendship. Why continue to invest in a group of people, a partner, anything, if they don't want to be with you, if they aren't invested in being with you, if they don't see your value in this? Again, I also am very understanding and respectful and applaud people that are very clear. You know, if you're in a job that maybe it's not your dream job, it doesn't excite you, you don't love going to work every day, whatever, it's a paycheck.
Yep.
Because it puts food on your table, it supports you and your family, it supports you, it supports your kid. Again, whatever, it keeps the lights on. I support you doing it. For me, I always would lose myself when I did that. Now, funnily enough, or ironically enough, I'm at a point right now, and it happened last fall. I had one of those, well, it was a week, where I thought I was ready to give up. Not in the sense of do anything to myself, but just give it all up. Because any kind of outreach I did about getting a job, people I used to work with, brands I used to work with, they were all going through their own thing, but no, I wasn't getting hired. There wasn't interest. There was, again, however you want to gauge.
Right. It, right.
I was ready to pack up and go. I was so stuck in that. And it took me a little while to pull out of it. And listen, there's still days where I'll have that ugly head of, I'm 53, who wants me?
Right.
Will come up. Well, you could be 23, 33, 43, 53, whatever it might be. You can still have those same moments. You know, it's for me, how am I, again, I'm not going to stick in that. I don't, that doesn't serve anyone.
Right.
You know, to, and I say this, I was just doing, I did a marketing, I spoke at this kind of marketing group, the Zoom, a few weeks ago. And I probably, well, some people said I was fine. I know for me, I can, as you can tell, I get very passionate about something. And I was saying to these people that represented brands and also work in the space, I'm like, as a company and as a person, what are you doing? How are you helping? How are you engaging to help make change? Not leaving it to other people, not just coasting, not just, so, you know, get your hands dirty. Mm-hmm. Be uncomfortable. Have uncomfortable conversations. Again, I know that got used a lot over the last year, but it is true. And it's not just with your audience. It's not just with your customer. It's not just with those internally. It's externally. It's yourself. Be uncomfortable.
That's well, my favorite line. That's my favorite. I mean, years, New York Women in Communications has an event every year called the Matrix Awards. And one of my favorite things was one of the events I went to. It was Renata McCann spoke, and she did, and she said the line, get comfortable feeling uncomfortable. And I tell my kids that all the time. And I, you know, and that's something, I mean, Jeremy and I have faced, because we were at a place where we'd pick up a phone and say, hey, this is Beth from CBS. And I was like, okay, I'm booking them on this talk show and this talk show and this talk show. And then we left our jobs. And then it was like, hello, sorry, but do I know you?
Yeah.
And then, you know, that's a chapter in one of my things, but that's exactly it. And I've really learned that I had to build brand Beth, not brand CBS. Yes. What I've done, you know, and that's how I live my life now. And, you know, if you feel uncomfortable by it, I'm sorry. That's who I am.
Yeah. Well, and the wonderful thing is, I love brand Beth. I love that. Listen, it is true. It's like, listen, it's the crazy, like I was director of events and special projects at the Hollywood Reporter.
Love it. Yeah.
For 2.5 years, like, yeah, I could, the phone, you know, the interesting thing, it was also a merging of my relationships that I brought.
Right.
You know, because I had been in quote unquote Hollywood for so many years. Here it is now. It's like, I get it. People, brands, or whatever, are initially, we'll say, interested in me because of, well, there's a number of followers that I have. Okay. Great. I respect that. Fine. I get it. What I also have to remember and be part of my lead is, well, yes, that's a number, but they're there and staying because of me.
Right.
So, you know, and I love and respect, and Jeremy, to your point, it's part of the reason that I do check in, or that I do ask, that I do. And I, you know, again, I know influencer teams and agencies, whatever, they'll tell you all these things that you're supposed to be doing, and you know, the whole, and I, yes, and those, many of those aspects, those details absolutely are true. Do you guys, I'm sure you do, you know who Gary Vee is?
Yes, of course.
Yes.
Right. The wine guy.
To me, two of the things that stayed with me, particularly over the last year, is he was yelling. Yeah, I mean, you know how he gets, right? He has raised voice, whatever. And he goes, those people following you, you need to respect them. Mm-hmm. You need to invest in them, each one of them. Don't take them for granted. Do not just assume that they're there and they're going to accept everything that you're doing. It is a relationship, and it is two ways. So when I, you know, you hear that, and of course, well, that makes sense, right? Of course you would, you know, you'd think that like at work or whatever, but when sometimes it literally is just these numbers or these, you know, names, every single one of those likes is a person.
Yeah.
Who has emotion, who has a life, everything. So it's respect that, engage that, honor that. You know, and the other thing he said, which I love, which is a huge release for me, or opening up of myself, you know, it's been over a year now. My gosh, yeah, almost maybe even 2 years, where Instagram was looking to hiding the likes.
Right. Yes, I remember.
In as much because one, obviously the impact that was happening, particularly on young people, you know, and they were getting as many likes, they weren't likable, that they, you know, questioned their self-worth, kind of all that, which again, I'm such a proponent for, that is the negative. So let's find the positive in this. You know, when he said that and he was saying, I think it's one of the best things that they could do. One, as much for that aspect as it is for, if you get so caught up, stuck in being one aspect of yourself and not living your full existence, then you are losing in life. You know, he would say, like, I have these people who, you know, do workout videos that, you know, that's, or who are, you know, they're the bathing suit models, or again, however they were termed, right? And they were only getting the likes when they would do those pictures, would post those pictures, and not when they would share pictures of their family, or again, whatever, it was just different. And so they were only doing one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not who we are as people.
Totally.
I got a like story. I know we have to wrap this up.
Yeah. Wait, did you just do parts? This was awesome. Seriously.
So, speaking of likes, so I wrote this story on Eric for New York Lifestyles. And, you know, some other magazines, editors, follow writers, whatever. And this editor of a magazine said, I have to have your story. I have to run the story. And they ran it like 7 pages. And then another editor said, can I have that story? So you have many likes, Eric.
Well, you're very kind because you're such a great writer. And it was one of the best experiences I had with someone sitting down, sharing, laughing, listening. I so appreciate it. And actually I still am doing that video for you to talk about that, one of those stories.
Awesome.
Here's the thing. Again, it's, we have more influence and capability in our lives than sometimes we give ourselves credit for. And the reason I say that, and let me expand, is, and I know we have to wrap up, is, Jeremy, you taking the time and interest in me, right? So then we create this piece. And then all of a sudden this piece has a life of its own.
Right.
And other people are interested. Other people are interested in your writing. Other audiences get to see your writing. Other audience get to see me,
yep,
become invested in me. So to me, a simple moment or 1 hour conversation, and I go this back to, like, it can be a text, it can be a phone, yep, call, it can be an email, it can be a post, whatever. The smallest or simplest thing can actually ripple out and continue to have great effect unbeknownst to yourself.
100%.
So to me, it's take the time, create the moment, you know? And again, I'm so appreciative of both of you for inviting me to be a part of this. I've had a giggle. I've had a moment.
You've become a time.
I'm like so motivated now. I'm so
good.
Yes.
Well, Eric, thank you so much for being with us. And yes, we're going to ask you all the time to join us again.
So. Listen, I'm happy to. I'm always happy to drop in on the giggles.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you both. I so appreciate it. Absolutely. And please, Beth, link up. I want to help your son however I can. Okay.
Well, and I got to tell you, then I'm going to tell you, this is so funny. I'll tell you I'll tell you the story offline after we stop recording. But I think what's so funny is that Jeremy and I had our last giggle was with an amazing astrologer who incidentally predicted the pandemic, but we had no idea. Like, whoa, we had no, this last year, like, she literally was like, things are going to really come crashing down and awful in this. And we were like, where were we, at the Plaza or something, Jeremy? We were like having tea and laughing. Yeah. Like, yeah. Oh, so funny. No idea. And then it's in March and I'm like, Jeremy, listen to our show again. Oh my God. Oh my God. So fast forward now, and she's telling us that it's still going to take a while to get out of this.
Sure.
But she was talking about various astrological signs, and my son is a Taurus, and I asked her to kind of give me a bit of a reading for him. And she did predict things were going to still be rough for him this year, but 2022 was going to be huge. So I'm just sort of like, okay. And she is so, she was so dead on. I can't even tell you. I mean, like, she is so dead on. So I'm very excited, but cautiously optimistic as a publicist and mother.
Right. Well, what the thing that I love, because I believe I am wholeheartedly, and again, I promise that I'll let you go.
Right.
I believe in God shots or God winks or however you want to,
chills, yes.
Yeah. And whether you believe in astrology or not, whether you believe in tarot cards or not, whether you believe in chance happenings of two people crossing at the same time and having the same idea, again, whatever it is, I believe those are seeds. And they either seeds of strength or encouragement or to take as you write over the next year, focusing on your son and saying, you know what? If that was a little bit of encouragement that we needed right now to keep going, then let's make it that.
Right.
Yep.
Awesome. And that's it. So I'm, but I love it because I just kind of feel like she's, you know, the Virginia, yep. is like she's, I'm just following her. I'm following
Good.
Her.
Good. Good.
Good. Awesome.
All right. Y'all have the most fantastic, Eric. Wonderful day. Thank you. Thank you both. And thank you everybody for listening.
Yes. Thanks. Absolutely. Take care. Bye.